When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode of Don't Blame Me is brought to you by Casper, a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/blame and using promo code blame at checkout. That's casper.com/blame, promo code blame. This episode of Don't Blame Me is brought to you by Aptiv. Aptiv produces audio-based workouts created by certified personal trainers available through a mobile app. New members get 50% off an annual membership. Visit aptiv.com/blame. That's aptiv.com/blame.
Hell, oh, fucking shit. Sorry.
That tea, oh, good God, almost went
the
everywhere.
The tea almost spilled. That's what the kids say. Mm-hmm. Okay, fuck, guys. Let's try that again. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Don't Blame Me. This is my podcast. My name's Megan. And today we have a very special, special guest. It's Mitchell Davis.
Hello, hello, hello.
I was going to ask you, because you're here now, how do you say your Twitter name?
My Twitter name. Oh,
it's not your handle.
Yeah,
your name.
CD emoji.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I just the CD emoji. That's my website too, cdemoji.com.
So no way.
Yeah, I have everything there.
Oh, because I was gonna say, you know, you were the person who told me if you like left click an emoji or whatever something, but it tells you,
yeah,
it describes
it'll
what
read
it is
it to you.
That was us season one of Student Body President. It was just going through and you're like, this one's this.
Yes.
I'm like, what?
Well, there's they just added like 80 new ones, and I just did that so that I could figure out what some of them were, because I had no idea what
what's
they
your favorite one, like your favorite description of one.
Oh, I think I really like all the ones where the descriptions are way too like exact mm-hmm. when it's like a family where it's like mother and father holding daughter's hands. Like I like it when it's really, really too many things.
Yeah.
It's longer than just what the emoji is.
And you're like, no wonder why you want us to condense this and just send the emoji.
Exactly.
For all those times I'm talking about mother and father holding hands
with daughter. It's really strange.
That is weird.
That's great. Well, that voice here is Mel. Mel, say hey.
Hello. I'm Melissa DeMont.
Are they going to follow you on Instagram?
Sure.
Do it.
She's got a GoFundMe and a PayPal. You can send just...
Send money.
Money. Send money.
Send all the monies.
All the monies.
Hey, I like your Twitter feed. I think your Twitter feed's solid.
Thank you.
You will honestly, Mel, now that we have a moment, you use the best gifts. You're a good gif finder. Anytime you're tweeting about popcorn, I'm always like, ooh, I'm gonna use the gif Mel used in the video because it's so good. You manage to find such good gifts that I'm like, I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're so dope. Long. Sometimes I'm like, this is too long to be a gif, but somehow Mel's made it so that it works. It's awesome.
Well, thank you.
What's your Twitter handle?
She is not Melissa.
Right? Isn't that great?
Oh, that's great.
Like with two S's because my name's spelled with one S.
It's so good. It's. So
I hope you know. I just stare at the she part and I go, she?
She's Melissa.
Oh, I found you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm following
and
you.
And so did Thank everyone you. Else.
Yes.
We're all doing it live.
Oh my God. Wait. Why don't I have this? The popcorn sweatshirt.
It can be arranged.
It can nice. Be arranged.
Oh, this is very nice. This is very nice. I want it for Christmas.
Well, by the way, what she's talking about is my podcast, popcorn.show. Check it out. We've got merch right now at Represent.
It's cute. I'm saying that, like, I'm being honest. It's really fucking cute.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, those
Good
are my
job.
Designs.
I can tell.
Thanks.
I can tell. I enjoy your podcast as well.
Thank you. And I like yours. I'm glad that we're finally getting to collab and swappity right now.
I need to figure out what movie I'm going to talk about, or I guess that's not really my job. That is your job. I would just be a guest.
We take suggestions.
Yeah, we'll take a few suggestions, but
if we don't like it, we'll knock it down. But
okay, if they're all garbage, have you done holes yet?
Holes.
That'll be a no.
Why? Holes is a fucking fantastic movie.
I'm pretty sure that's, you know, when Shia LaBeouf watched all of his own movies, I'm pretty sure Holes was when he took a nap.
What have you
pretty sure. No. Did that even come out on, like, in the theaters?
Are you kidding?
Yes. I thought it was a Disney original.
I have the soundtrack and I can still do the entire rap
dig it
of
up.
Them. Oh, dig it. A-R-M-P to the T. Dude, what you smelling? Yeah, dog, that's me. No, I don't take showers and I don't brush my teeth. All I do is dig holes, eat, and sleep.
Oh my God.
Okay. It's fucking great.
I read Holes twice. I thought the book was fantastic.
The book is
Stanley
great.
Yelnats, the backwards, pickled onions. Forwards. It was great, but no, we're not going to watch that movie.
Oh, fucking
no, we're not.
Okay, what are my other suggestions?
We'll talk about that. I'm sorry, it's my podcast. So what is this show?
Okay, good question. Sorry, I got distracted, everybody. This is my advice podcast. You guys call in, you leave voicemails, and you tell us about the things happening in your life that you need our sage words of wisdom. And if you guys want to leave voicemails and ask us questions, you can call 310-694-0976. And if you guys are international callers, you can send us a voice memo and just email it to meganpodcast@gmail.com. Just record a voice memo on your phone, send it on the email, and send it on up till it has that whizzy sound.
There's really no excuse not to be sending in your questions, really.
Yeah, guys, come on. You have so many fucking opportunities. Yeah, so we're gonna get into it.
I'm so excited.
I'm so fucking excited.
So I'm a 20-year-old college student, and I recently started dating a girl that I met up here at school, and she's great and beautiful and amazing, but she's also very open about her sexuality and came out to basically everyone in her life when she was in middle school, and she was very well accepted because of it. But I, however, have only come out to my closest friends and my roommate because I haven't told anyone in my family because everyone in my family is very Christian and I'm worried that they won't take it very well. And I'm waiting until I'm fully financially independent before I come out. So if it goes wrong, I have a backup plan. But anyway, so she's really open and wants to post pictures on social media and like tag me and all this stuff and be like, you know, like a normal couple. But I said no, because if she did that and anyone in my family saw it, it could really ruin my life. And she's starting to get really annoyed and more angry about it as time goes on every time I tell her to, like, not tag me in this or you can't post this picture. And I don't understand how to get her to understand that this is like a big deal for me. And I guess because she came out so early, it's just really hard for her to understand a situation where people wouldn't accept you, like people in my family. And I really don't want to break up over this because I really do like her. But if you have any advice to help me get her to understand how hard this is for me, that'd be great.
Do you have any first initial thoughts?
Well, my first initial thought, I think after hearing it, is kudos to you for asking for advice. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the hardest thing, especially, I mean, I'm just basing it off of like my early relationships in life. I really was like, I'm a big proud person. I don't need to ask for help or what to do. And I think I'm so glad that we live in a world now where it's like, no, I don't know what to do. And please.
Yeah. It's relatable now to be like, I don't have my shit together.
Yeah. And I think that it is just like, it's refreshing that we can actually be this honest with strangers. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
So what about you? What do you think?
So my initial thing, so I guess I wish I had known when you had told her, your girlfriend, that you weren't out to your family. Just because I fucking hate when this happens, when I kind of side with not the person who's called. But so I have a lot of my friends are gay, and something that we've talked about always when they were dating was a deal breaker if somebody wasn't out to other people. And if their whole thing is like, I already came out of the closet, I'm not going to date somebody who's still in the closet. I think what you guys are experiencing is a little different because you have this world where you're at college where you are out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's back home that you're not. So the only thing that's really crossing both those parallels is social media. And so I think, I understand how she feels with not wanting to feel like she has to hide anything because she did have to. So I would even say, I know that you're talking about it from the sense of that everything was very accepting for her and her family when she came out, and she came out so young. You also can't, no matter how great she can talk about the experience now, she still had to come out. Like, that's not something I would discredit. So I understand her not wanting to kind of backtrack with that. But I also think that in my friend's cases, those were early on deal breakers. But you guys have been dating for long enough that I hope that it doesn't matter. And I also think if there's you're saying waiting till you're financially independent, which I get because they think that's smart. Maybe there's a timeline. If you give her kind of more of a specific, hey, this is only, I need to save up this amount of money. So for her, it doesn't feel like an indefinite thing that maybe she wants to get married. Maybe she really sees a future with you, and it might be hard to see a future. And she might think, not that she doesn't think that you are serious about her or anything like that, but I think it's kind of hard to not take it personally.
I would definitely agree with the make a timeline, because that does put like you're saying, a severity on the situation of like, I do want this relationship to continue and to evolve. And man, this is so hard having a call-in show, because
I know
I want to ask your questions. Yeah. I want to be like, so my next question is like, what is your plans for, I mean, you said that you wanted to come out to your family when you're financially stable, but I mean, financial stability doesn't equal like family understanding or anything too. I mean, I get that that means that you will be able to potentially deal with the issues that come with telling your family who don't agree with you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I just want to be like, maybe you should talk. How did she go about it? How did the partner go about it? And then maybe you can use some of those cues into your life. I don't know. Right.
Yeah. I also wonder, you you said being financially independent. I don't know if they're paying for your college, and if that's the fear.
Yeah.
Is if you come out.
There's
and
so
then,
many questions
yeah,
I have.
Exactly. But I also think if that's not the case, if they're not paying for school or something like that, I mean, maybe it might be better to come out when you're not living at home and you're able to kind of
distance yourself.
Yeah. So
you've already got that distance a little bit to just kind of just adjust to what's going on. And then you can visit back when you need to, or when you want to, or when you feel like it's ready.
So then maybe also, if both of you kind of take a social media break from things, and then, I don't know, make a fucking scrapbook, have Polaroid pictures you guys take, and like make a poster and like keep it in your apartment or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Just keep the conversation open. That's the thing too, is don't try to swipe this under the rug and try to make it like not a issue. If it is an issue, like, you know, sit in front of it and talk about it with each other and figure out how to fix things. Because at the end of the day, if you do really care about each other, you're not going to let something like this, you know.
Also, not to belittle this at all, but I was going to ask you, how long, when did you and your, to get my talk about your girlfriend,
Are you asking me now or the person?
I'm asking Mitchell.
Oh, you can ask me whatever you want.
Okay.
I'm open book.
So you and...
I don't ever say your name. I call her the chef.
Is that okay?
So, I call her chef.
So how long, not to belittle your question and make this, because obviously coming out's a very different thing, but I'm just curious how long before you guys started dating before you were okay with her posting about you publicly and stuff?
That's interesting. So me, we've been together for about a year now, and I think it was about 6 months in.
Mm-hmm.
It was between 3 and 6 months, which I know is like a massive big area, but it was just this gray area where the first 3 months I didn't want posting happening because I didn't know how serious it was.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to get my family's, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh, Mitchell's in something. No, he's not. And I also didn't want to psych myself out. I didn't want to get too committed to this like digital relationship mm-hmm. when in reality it's still very much growing. And I think that's another important thing that can kind of answer, go back to that question, which is when you start to implement your relationship into the digital world and your avatars, I mean, it becomes part of your forever.
Yeah, and no, it becomes part of your online identity,
your timeline, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it. So it's a big deal when you start to implement those person into your
relationship. I think it's a huge Mots and I dated for a year before I ever even publicly said that I was in a relationship or anything, but I gave him that timeline. But I mean, I know for him that was like, there were times that he was like, no, there were times that like I said I was understanding of it, but I felt super fucking shitty about this because it felt like you were hiding me from a part of your mm-hmm. life. And so I think like him and I being able to have those open conversations and talking about it, it was able for me to really explain how much more it was about me and had no reflection on my feelings for him.
Yeah, it's honestly a total personal thing that I have. I know what you mean. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the fact that it had our relationship is coming to a halt because mm-hmm. I don't want you to post pictures. It's like, no, I want to keep taking all the photos.
Yeah, and you want to keep something for yourself too, and you don't want it to get tarnished by other people's opinions. So I would say, I think you really need to reassure her. I think that of that fact, of the fact that it has nothing to do with her or being ashamed of being with a girl or anything like that. It's more along the lines of like, I'm just putting words in your mouth. I'm having a great time with you. I really, really like you. And I right now am not ready to have that get compromised by someone else's opinions who really don't matter just because mm-hmm. I need to deal with that first.
Yeah.
I think that's a good, not to like bring it back to like our own.
I think it's
heterosexual
No, but I think peppering in some of the, like you can learn from all these little bits and then you kind of just take it in and, you know, drink it up and see
drink
what happens.
Up.
See what happens.
Take it back.
I don't know what I'm saying, guys.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Me neither. Okay. And we both have podcasts.
Perfect.
Oh, I love it.
That was a good question. What wow, I did on? It.
You did it.
Advice.
First one is done.
Boom. Okay. 99 to go.
Okay. On to the next one.
I am 26 and I'm hoping you can help me out. So I have this boyfriend. We've been dating for 5 years. We are super duper in love. Like, he is my end game. Like, he is my person. I am his person. And we're just like living madly in love together. It's been great. Here's the little problem. My parents are, well, it's a big problem. They're very racist. I am white and my boyfriend is black. So it's been a lot of fun. Dealing with them. But basically, my mother knows what's going on, and it's taken her a couple years to kind of, quote-unquote, get over it. She still thinks we're going to break up. She still doesn't imagine us getting married or having kids. She's just kind of going with it, I think, because she wants to keep a relationship with me because I'm the only child. My dad has no idea. My mom has asked me not to tell my dad because my dad is so anti-interracial relationships, and he is super just doesn't believe in it and wants me to marry a nice Italian boy from Italy and be barefoot and pregnant. I don't really know. The problem with all of this is that I am very close with my extended family and I love them all very much. I love them all very much and they love me and I would love to bring my boyfriend to go and meet them. I live in a different state from my whole family. Like I live a 3-hour plane ride away. I want to bring my boyfriend up to introduce him to the family because when we get married, I would love to invite them and they know about him, but they're like, bring him. Like, we'd love to see him. But the problem is my dad doesn't know. So because my dad doesn't know, I can't bring him anywhere, but I'm afraid to tell my dad
because of the outlash, and I don't want to lose a parent, but I think it might come down to my boyfriend or my dad, and I'm going to choose my boyfriend because we're going to be the future, and if my dad is racist and won't deal with it, then he's going to have to figure it out, but I don't want it to be one or the other. I kind of want to have both, but I don't know how to tell him. What should I do? Should I not tell him? Should I be like, oh, by the way, we're getting married tomorrow, and then, like, have him deal with it when that happens? Or, like, what should I do?
Wow. What a good question.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
There's a lot of layers to this.
There is. I think that your dream scenario is just a dream, and what you're thinking is going to happen might fucking happen. Mm-hmm. And also, whoever's fucking had sex with your mom and then made your genes and then made you a fucking baby or whatever, that doesn't excuse any sort of behavior. I'm very much of, like, holding parents and everyone, I'm like, friends, relationships, everyone is being held accountable for their actions. It does not matter their relationship to you. And I'm just not one for, like, accepting those kinds of traits, regardless of what you owe them life or whatever.
Well, especially in this time that we live in the world. I mean, it's so ass backwards to be thinking like that I just can't even imagine. I'm having a hard time fathoming.
I know.
Because I'm like, I haven't had to deal with this since I was like, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm so sorry, but this might end up being not as clean as you would like
and
it to be.
You pick the one who's not a racist. Like, that's what I don't think that whole thing of, like, choosing your relationship over family and things like that. I think it seems very black and white that family always comes first, but there are certain things that I think, like, I don't know. I'm like a zero tolerance. I mean, I have zero tolerance for intolerance kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, if this is something they can have whatever relationship with you that you feel comfortable, but it's not fair to put your boyfriend through at all. And that's not an environment. I mean, like, in-laws in itself are already, like, uncomfortable and awkward. And I think that's not a great situation to put him in. But I also think that you've already kind of sound like you've made up your mind of, like, this is who you're going to be with. Mm-hmm. And also, even if you, I don't know. I mean, like, even if this wasn't who you were going to end up being with, I think it is something that, like, at this day and age,
you have to face that.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that eventually you're like, ooh, we're going to face this. We're going to talk about this because guess what? We're a family.
Yeah.
And I mean, would you say it's wrong for me to say, like, maybe you need to just have, like, a one-on-one sit down with your father and be like, this is, you know, maybe not necessarily about this relationship, but just in general about, like, what's happening in the world, mm-hmm. what's going on, where, what, you know what I mean? Am I on the right?
No, I think you are. I think you need to give him the opportunities to surprise you. And then if he doesn't surprise you,
instead of surprising him with, we're getting married, maybe be like, look, I just know that I have love, and there's love, and there's tons of people in this world. And there's no sense in me not loving a certain person because of something so silly.
Yeah. And I think it's about telling him. I don't think it's about asking him. And I don't think I think you just need to just lay the facts out there and be like, I want you to give I think I know what you're going to say, but I want to give you the opportunity to prove me wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to leave any stone left unturned. So I need to do this. And then
And I don't want to keep something from you.
Yeah. And I think that you need something that's finalizing for you. Because right now you're putting it off and you're waiting and hoping that the longer that you wait, maybe he'll become more accepting. But I also think it's probably more likely that you'll have that found family where you live and your friends and these people who really accept you and love you, and maybe the relationship with you and your parents, it might take a time for you guys to kind of recover from this, but you also can't put so much weight on that.
Also, something I'm just going to throw out here is you have so much more family, it sounds like, that wants to meet him and it wants to be involved. And it's just like, I get that it's one person who's being a little stinker about the whole thing, but, like, let him be a stinker. And then the whole family will look at him and be like, what's your deal, man? Like, why are you acting like this? Your daughter's in love. Mm-hmm. Your daughter's in like, I mean, listen to the message. Like, yeah. Play the message back for your father. Like, you said,
he's
I'm so. Yeah, like, I mean, you sound like you're so smitten about this person. Like you said, you've made up your mind. So it's now it's just like kind of owning up and just being like, yeah, this is my dude. This is my life now. Love always should win. That's just like the truth in my book. I'm like a hopeless romantic at the end. I really am, though. At the end of the day, it's just like, be together. The only thing that I'm gonna just really highly not recommend is don't keep waiting. Don't keep putting it off. Don't think that the next day it's going to get better, because I mean, look at the world around you. That's not happening these days. It takes courage, it takes motivation, it takes a little bit of a push to get anything done these days.
Yeah, and it takes education. That's the thing. If your dad's not being exposed to this and learning about this because he's very shut out to any other way,
then it's not gonna stop.
No, not at all.
So when I was in high school, for you guys that don't know, I'm Black. I grew up mostly around white people. And there's this boy that liked me and I liked him. So I went and I hung out at his house. He invited me to come over. And then at one point, his mom was like, Melissa, can I talk to you in the kitchen?
She pulled you aside?
She pulled me aside.
I'm sorry, the fuck?
Yeah, she's like, she was trying to like be sweet. I'm from Arkansas, the South, so she was trying to be real sweet about
it.
Like,
did you see right through it?
I didn't at first.
How old are you?
16.
Okay, so you were old enough 16. To be like, I know what's going on. Yeah. Okay.
So then she's like, I don't believe in interracial dating. Oh. Goes on this like long tangent. Like, she's like, I'm not racist or anything,
but
I think you're a sweet girl, but I just don't think that'll be good for you in the long run. I mean, if you had kids, then we don't want like that kind of world of them growing up in and having to choose if they want to be Black or white. And I was just like, And so, She wasn't expecting me to tell her son, but I did tell him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell my parents, though, because they would have went ballistic. But I told him, and like we ended up dating for a while. And
good
she eventually came around.
Yeah.
And she like accepted me and she was sweet. So
do you think you bringing it up to the son played a major role in him?
I think
in
so.
Him talking to her, being like, "What did you fucking say?"
Yeah, I really think so.
Yeah, see, yeah. I think that kind of leans with what we're saying, where it's just like the youth is the future, man.
Thing
yeah,
too.
You've got to be like, "Mom, Dad, you guys are being fucking old."
Yeah,
right.
You have an iPhone, ma'am. Okay,
yeah, I mean,
come
like,
on.
Where are we right
yeah,
now?
Fucking
right.
Choose. What generation do you want to live in?
Right.
Do you want your Apple TV? Okay, then don't be a fucking racist.
I mean, right?
Like, you can't have both, bitch. I have two. One of my friends in high school, she ended up, I mean, she had a very strange relationship with her family, but she was in an interracial relationship and her family did not accept her at all and was very much like, nope, not happening. Like, you and her and this guy aren't dating anymore at all. But her parents were just like, these racists. Like, that was just the kind of thing. And so for her, it was like, as much as it sucked for it to kind of be a character trait, it was like, well, I'm glad I know. And I'm not putting you on this pedestal of being an untouchable person. Cause I'm like, no, I'm going to be a fucking woke 25-year-old living in LA. And I'm going to be able to look at you and be like, okay, cool. You gave birth to me. And there's certain things that we can relate on, but I'm not going to like sit quietly and not, and like, let you be racist. And if she found out later on that her younger sister had been hiding the fact that she was in an interracial relationship for years and ended up living with the guy and never, ever told the family.
Wow.
And it was like, you can go about any of that how you kind of want to, but I also think it fucking sucks to say that like your parents are people and everyone has flaws, including the people who, like that doesn't, yeah. And I think it's something you gotta fucking address.
It's weird when you have to start thinking of family as friends you lived with.
ex-roommates.
You know what I mean though? Because like, you gotta have this kind of mentality where it's like, again, like you, I'm same with you. I'm from Ohio and I moved out to Los Angeles, woke up a little bit and then went back and I'm like, yo, are you guys fucking crazy? Like, this isn't how we do things. Like, and you just have to get to that point where you have to start being like, I know that there's like, you want to play the seniority like mom and dad card, but I'm just telling you, like, this is the world card. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this for the better of everyone at this table.
Like,
you just need to know what's up.
Yeah. I think that's a really smart thing to do, because I think we give, Yeah, we cut too much slack for everyone.
I think it's definitely like a thing now where, like, especially, like I said, even with Thanksgiving, like, I mean, you saw it on Twitter where so many people were just like, I went home today and I really fucking told them what was up.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is the first year too where I'm like, good, great. Right. We need these conversations to start because we've been sitting on our hands for such a long time.
How we elected this president.
Exactly. Because we all thought, and then I like how we brought this back
to
this. Right.
But
at the end of the day, though, words are crucial. Use them and use them with each other and talk about it and have conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone is so afraid to just be like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah.
And I live like me, man. I just don't know anything. Keep asking. And everyone just tells you. It's amazing.
Yeah. Because, yeah. And I also think, especially if you want to have kids and all of that stuff, I think you guys regard... No matter how the relationship with your family changes, when they find out about like the seriousness of your relationship and all that stuff, you need to do that so you can really create a foundation and an amazing supportive group of people at the same time that you might be letting go of some, not forever, but maybe temporarily. So you can have another support system. And that's a good thing, is you know that this isn't the world. And like, you know that like, you're even able to see like your extended family and everybody else is so much more accepting, that I think you need to make sure that you feel supported.
Yeah.
And hey, also, who fucking knows? Maybe it gets to the point where your dad's the one who's now going to be not invited and who's going to be exiled from the, like, with your extended family.
Exactly.
On board.
He might be totally by himself, but you've just been thinking, well, he sits at the top of the table, so I guess we just let him do what he's doing. And that's again, that I feel like that's like old traditions, and this time right now when we're living is when we need to kind of break those stupid walls down and just like be like, what's really going on here? Mm-hmm. Like, where are we?
Yeah.
Because you're at the head of the table and you don't even know what the fuck's actually going on outside.
Yeah. And shit's gonna happen. It's unavoidable. Shit's gonna happen. We all have these perfect ideas of relationships and how everything ends up, but you got to accept the fact that this is not going to be easy, but this is the life that you've chosen, and that's been chosen for you, whatever you believe, and you have to deal with it. Because it's just not going to go away. And that's good. It shouldn't go away because you guys seem super happy and in love.
I was going to say, it sounds like nice love to me. So just keep enjoying it.
Hell yeah. Enjoy the good loving.
Yeah.
Okay. We're done talking about politics. Maybe not. On to the next question.
14 more questions to go.
I am 19 years old. I'm from Vegas. And I've been seeing this guy on and off since I was a sophomore in high school. And now I'm a sophomore in college. We slept together a few times. This summer we slept together quite a lot, and he acts like he cares a whole bunch, but then whenever I talk to him, he's like, no, I just want to be friends. And the thing is, like, I would stop sleeping with him, but, like, the sex is, like, really great, so, like, why would I stop? But at the same time, it's like, I don't want to be just another girl, just another notch in his belt and just being used. I'd love to see where something would go with him because he's a great guy. Like, whenever we hang out and stuff, it's not like every time we hang out, it's Netflix and chill. Like, we'll go to dinner, we'll hang out. But at the same time, like, there's always the question of, is this going to happen? Is it not going to happen, sort of thing. So I just don't know what to do. Should I end things with him, or should I keep going and ask him and see where... Like, if this potentially could be something more, or should I just leave it at just friends and stop sleeping with him?
I'm going to just say the first thing that pops in my head, which is, this guy's not going to change.
No, I literally wrote fuck buddy.
Yeah, this dude's not going to change. I'm so sorry that I have to be the one to tell you this because I don't even know you. But if it's been happening for this long and he's look, I get that he's cool with you, but he's cool with you because you guys are fucking at that time. Mm-hmm. Who's not going to be cool with someone while they're fucking them?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If he's being that much of like a standoffish dude when it comes to just like hanging out and about and it's been this long, it can only get worse.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, I've had fuck buddies. Like, I've been in that
same
in
here.
That and, thing. And it's kind of like, it's like you categorize people where it's like, oh, if you're having casual sex with someone regularly and you know that they're, and you're not looking to put any sort of label on it, it's not because you haven't thought of that.
Exactly.
It's because you've thought of that and have been like, no, not what I'm interested in with you.
Yeah.
So I think that is something that I would just say is like, you guys are ultimately your fuck buddies. And if it's great sex and if there's a way that you can detach your emotions from it, sure. But right now it sounds like you are emotionally invested in this guy and he is not emotionally invested in you. Even if you guys are going to dinner and it's like you're not sleeping together all of the time, you are a girl that he regularly sleeps with. Mm-hmm. Like this is not, it's not a friendship anymore. And it's not a relationship. You are the in-between of that, which is a fuck buddy.
See, and that's why also with the whole, like, should we be just become friends? That's not going to happen either. No. That you can never revert back to,
if you've
like,
seen your friend naked, I've seen you naked. You've been inside me.
Yeah, I don't think you can revert back. I know you can't revert back from something like that, especially if it's been going on for this long. Because there's always going to be that residual, I actually still like you. I actually don't really like you. Oh, you still want to have sex with me. I still want to have sex with you just because we were good fuck buddies.
Yeah.
And I mean, even the way that you presented this question to us says that you know the answers, because you're like, it's really, really good, but all this, but like, you're not solid on even what it is, because you know that it's not a solid thing. Like, this isn't, even if this, you were like, yeah, let's become super just into each other, I'd still be like, yeah, but we started as like crazy fuck buddies who didn't give a shit about each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would be a weird way to start.
No, I've started one relationship from being fuck buddies. And it didn't end well.
Like, I mean, same.
Yeah. Like, right? It's one of those things of being like, it was in the moment was the most flattering thing in the world.
And it's
because
so
it's
fun.
Yeah. Because it's like, well, like, he came up to me at a party and was like, I heard you made out with blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, so? And it was like, you can't make out, well, we're dating. And I was like, we're not dating. We've established we're purely fuck buddies. Like, well, I don't want you to sleep with anybody else. And I was
jealousy.
I was like, well, if I'm not sleeping with anyone else, then you're not gonna sleep with anyone else. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then that hardly lasted.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, no offense, I'm like, even that is fueled with a little bit more emotion than what this sounds like. Because I always think about it in like my sense, like how I started dating my first serious boyfriend in high school was the fact that I was helping him. I was helping set up him to go to prom with some girl. And it was fucking killing me to the point where I was like, I can't be friends with him anymore because I can't watch him go out with somebody else. But if both of you have been able to kind of coexist and loop back to each other, and I'm assuming dated other people, neither of you would be able to do that if there was some serious emotion there, which I don't want to question how you feel about him either. But I also just want to say it is so fucking hard to have great sex as a girl that if you're getting fucking amazing sex from this guy, that's going to automatically, you're going to feel more invested in him specifically. And I also fucking hate, no offense, I love you, you're great. But the amount of times that girls have called into this podcast and talked about a guy and said or not even just like in general, my friends, and they'll say these things that are terrible and prove that this guy is not a good guy. And they go, but he's such a good guy.
That's what I was going to say.
I was like, if he's such a fucking good guy,
he would have noticed this by now and been like, actually, you know what? We're great for each other.
Yeah.
Cause that's what a good guy. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Look, I've been a fuck buddy. I'm not a terrible guy. But at the same time, if I see a budding relationship, I know when to change gears.
Or if you saw that she was developing serious feelings for you,
I know to back my brakes. Yes. Because that's giving her crazy bad emotions. Yeah. I'm fucking with this person.
Completely.
Now.
Not just fucking her. You're fucking with her.
Yeah, you're making it seem like you're putting... Oh, God, you gotta... Oh, this stinks.
So what should she do?
I know.
Should she tell him? If she talks
to him, he's just going to be like, yeah, you know, we're just, you're just having fun. We're just going to see where it goes. Yeah, let's just see where it goes.
I'm a very like honest to the point kind of person. So I think that, especially if it's been going on for this long, I think you have to have a conversation about it. Otherwise there's still the what if or maybe kind of thing, or that when you go back to something and you're thinking, well, I mean, I never actually knew, or I never really got a solid answer. So I think if you can find it in you to go into it and say, if you're like, hey, can you tell in the last like 5 seconds, I've tried to stop saying like, and it's not working. My words have gotten slower. I'm trying. So it's not going to happen. I'm just going to say like all the time. I think you just need to say it and be, hey, I have been feeling this way for a while, and I know that we've been casually sleeping together for a while, and we're such great friends. I, for me, have developed feelings for you over this period of time. And at this point, I've reached this place where I need to know if you have those feelings for me as well, and you would be interested in starting a monogamous relationship. Otherwise, I can't do this anymore. And I think you need to say that, and you can't ask him what you guys are or define this. You need to say what it is that you want, because at this point, this is about you. I mean, it should always be about, it's about what you want, mm-hmm. and not, because right now what you're doing is you're taking whatever he's giving you, and you need to just be like, this is what I want. If you can do this, and this is something you also want, then let's try this. Otherwise, you're just settling. You can't take anything less than what you want.
I like this. I like this answer.
I just feel like that's what it is. Otherwise, this is going to last forever. And then guess what? He's going to date some girl, and she's going to be his girlfriend. They're going to be in a relationship. They're going to get married, and that's going to be it. You'll be fine. You've got this. And if I can get in a relationship and not get sick of him, whoo, you can do it too.
Same here. I feel like kudos to us. High five. Like when we were talking about the idea for this podcast with Jack, we were both like single mingles. Last time we hung out, actually, you helped me set up my Tinder.
I like to take credit for your relationship.
You do. No, hey, and it's been a year and we're still together. And I met her on Tinder, which is fucking bonkers. And even today before I came, I was like, by the way, babe, I'm going to hang out with the person who made it so that you swiped on me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I know.
We should do an entire episode that is about how to make over.
You can make me one.
Seriously.
Can I?
I'm not joking. And I will say this. It's not even like, you changed my life on Tinder. No one matched with me ever on Tinder. And I just had no idea what I was doing. And then you were just like, oh, this needs to change. This, mm-hmm. this. And then all of a sudden, it was just like people were actually...
Floodgates were open.
People were actually communicating with me. Yeah. And it was fucking fantastic. It mm-hmm. was bizarre. I still don't know what kind of wizardry you did, but it worked.
Okay, guys. Listen to words from...
I'm going to go check my Tinder.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be back in a second, or more than a second. This episode of Don't Blame Me is brought to you by Casper. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Casper's mattresses are designed for humans by humans. They combine multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Casper's breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature throughout the night. So if you get hot flashes like me and you're not even going through menopause, this is perfect. And they're not just a mattress company. Casper offers a wide array of products to ensure an overall better sleep experience. They're also made in the U.S. and buying the Casper is easy. Order online, and guess what? It's delivered to your door in a compact box. And when they mean compact, I mean you will be like, oh, wow, this doesn't look like a mattress could fit in here. Plot twist, it does. There's free shipping and free returns to the U.S. and Canada. Look, Canada, we love you. I mean, obviously, we love Canada. You can get a risk-free 100-day trial. Considering we spend one-third of our lives on a mattress, it's so important to truly sleep on a mattress before committing. That's why Casper gives you 100 nights to try it out. 100 nights? That's more than 3 months. 3 months and a couple weeks, days? Oh, my gosh. I mean, my math isn't great. But I think this is amazing considering I have slept on many, many terrible mattresses. With my Casper mattress, I have it in my guest bedroom. Not that I'm saying that I've definitely slept in my guest bedroom. Sometimes I film in there and I fall asleep. Or, you know, if my boyfriend and I get in a fight and I'm like, I'm sleeping on the guest mattress. It is so incredibly comfortable. It was so easy to set up. I wish I had recorded myself filming how I took it out of the box, because it is insane how big of a mattress it is to fit in something so tiny. It was incredibly easy. And to this day, every time I'm laying on my guest bed, I'm like, wow, this is comfortable. Really wish I had this for my master bedroom, considering they're so much more affordable than other mattresses. The one that I got for my bedroom, I don't want to talk about it. I mean, it's like it's as much as rent, pretty much. So start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 off towards any mattress
by visiting casper.com/blame and using promo code blame at checkout. That's $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/blame and using promo code blame at checkout. This episode of Don't Blame Me is brought to you by Aptiv. Aptiv produces audio-based workouts created by certified personal trainers available through a mobile app. It's a flexible audio workout format so you can work out just the way you like, whenever or wherever you work out, whether it's the gym, at home, outside, on the beach, on a yoga mat, or on a bike, or you're traveling for business, Aptiv is ready to go along with you with their mobile app. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're interested in running, strength training, indoor cycling, stair climbing, yoga, or even meditation, Aptiv trainers give you the guidance you need to be better at these types of exercises you love, delivered in a flexible audio format to make fitness a lasting part of your routine. Are you interested in running a marathon? A 5K? A 10K? Half a marathon? Well, they have training programs for that, and you have the ability to search by difficulty, music genre, and duration so you can find a workout that you love every single time. Personally, I've talked about this before, guys. I am a huge fan of this app. I just started going to the gym regularly, and wow, I definitely have gym anxiety, and something that, even coming from somebody who considers themselves a relatively healthy person who enjoys working out, walking into a gym and having no idea what to do is so incredibly intimidating. And this is like having somebody who's coaching you in your ears, telling you what to do, and you're like, oh, I know exactly what I'm doing, but I don't. You've got someone in your ears telling you those things. It's like going on a date and having someone whisper all the right things to say to you, or to say to your date, except this time your date is the weight rack and you're just crushing it. I'm a huge fan. I can't wait to travel and use this, especially because I find myself really slacking on working out when I travel, and I've got some trips coming up, and now I know that I'm going to maintain that six pack I have, when actually more it's like a two pack, and only if I'm in a really shadowy lighting. But hey, I can't wait to get stronger and just feel more confident working out. So subscriptions start at $14.99 billed monthly, or $99.99 for an annual membership. For a limited time, new members are going to get 50% off an annual membership, which is just $49.99 for a whole year of unlimited workouts. Visit aptiv.com/blame. That's aptiv.com/blame.
Okay, guys, we are back, and we're going to hop on to the next call.
So basically, I found out a couple weeks ago that my, at the time, best friend, she told me that back in March, she sent nudes to my boyfriend, who is now my ex-boyfriend for other reasons, a literal trash bag. She said, she mentioned it over the phone and just brought it up in casual conversation. Naturally, I was pissed because, you know, my best friend's not going to send nudes to my boyfriend. That's not cool with me. And her explanation was that she's jealous of me and that his attention made her feel validated. Basically, I don't want anything to do with her after that. And I think that's a smart decision, in my opinion. So if you were me, would you accept her apology and stay friends with her? Or would you kind of just ditch her, because that's a really shitty thing to do? Also, looking back, I realized, shit, I don't have really, and it's going to be hard going into senior year without her. So if you recommend that there's some other ways I can make more friends, because I have a lot of guy friends, but she's really my only girlfriend.
Oh my goodness. I feel... This is no. She's not a best friend anymore. No. There's so many boys in this world that she could have sent. I mean, turn on Snapchat, turn on anything. She could have sent, if she wanted validation, go on Reddit. Okay.
I mean, in high school, I used to go to Borders and just walk around because the guys who worked at Borders would flirt with me. Like, I mean, that's very fucking innocent.
I mean, seriously, the fact that she had to, oh, there's so many things about this that are wrong. Like, well, the fact that it's the best friend's boyfriend. Like, yeah. Really?
I mean, I think the biggest thing here is I mean, I'm a girl who I've got. I'm a girl. Hi. But I've got a lot of close girlfriends now, and I grew up with a lot of really close girlfriends. And I when I went to college and all that stuff, I struggled really hard to have friends who were girls, and most of my friends were guys. And I ended up settling for people who did things that were super shitty and treated me like shit, because there's a part of you that is like, no, girl power, I have to stick with this. The thing that I issue with I have with your friend is this is, she's essentially blaming you for this. She's jealous of you. And so this was something that she had to do. This is not a friend. I am all for amazing, wonderful female friendships, but this is also the core issue why women on women anger and all that stuff is so prevalent, is because we're accepting this kind of behavior just to have friends who are women, who get you on a level of like talking about your period and being able to be emotional and feeling all of that stuff. Female friends are important, but good friends are far more important regardless of their gender. And Arden and I talked about this when she was on the podcast. Both Arden and I mean, since we moved to LA, have always been close friends, but we went through circles of different friends who were girls who treated us like shit that we accepted. And then we both just ended up being like, fuck, my only friend's gonna be my boyfriend. And it wasn't until we started holding our friendships to the same expectations that we held the guys that we were dating that we were like, oh fuck, I can be just as picky and choosy with the friends I let into my life as I am with the guys I'm letting into my bed.
Whoa, wow, I've never thought of this. This is kind of eye-opening genius.
You have to, and especially because I think men, not to categorize anyone, but a lot of the time aggression and anger between men, it happens, it comes to a head, and it's addressed in a moment. With women, it's a lot of belittling over time, quietly and slowly. And it's a lot of this thing of blaming. It's a lot of when something finally comes up, you are being given a lot of this blame. And so you feel responsible. It's just a gender stereotype of apologetic women who tend to take a lot of the blame for things. And I think the issue is here is you want female friends, but ultimately she's not a friend. And if a boyfriend had done this to you, if you were still with this guy, let's say you were, and he sent a dick pic to your best friend, this would not be a conversation. Like, you would be, I'm true. Done. Like, you're a fucking asshole. And I think you have to, I mean, I just...
Wow, thinking about it like this, I'm so sorry, but no. This is blowing my mind a bit, because you're thinking, like, I've never thought about it reverse like this, but yeah, it's just like... What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
It is. And especially when you're young enough that a lot of your friendships have become out of
just time.
Convenience.
Yeah.
And the fact like, oh, we went to same preschool together. Our parents carpooled us together. We in the scheme of the world, we probably wouldn't seek each other out to become friends. You have to hold people accountable for their actions. And also, I think you making friends, whether you're friends with guys or girls, it really doesn't matter. But I think what is more important in this situation is not accepting this female on female abuse and taking that, because it's just contributing to the cycle. Mm-hmm. I think you need to call her out on it. I'm sure you already have, but I think you can, I also think it's kind of worth it to tell her and just be like, hey, so I've been really trying to grapple with what had happened and if I would be okay remaining friends with you. And at this point in my life, I really need, and in this like political climate, I really want to surround myself with women who are going to empower me and bring me up. And that's the same thing that I want to do for the other women in my life. And I really feel disrespected. And I wish you well. And I really hope that you can take this as an opportunity to really look at how you treat the other women in your life and how you can move forward in that, because it's not even about your boyfriend. It's about you. That's the whole thing. She's doing this to be an asshole to you. Otherwise it would have been any other guy. And that's a much deeper issue.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, do you think that this was like in the back of the friend's mind that there was like a little bit of something saying like, we're going to make sure it's her boyfriend though?
Well, that's
100%.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too, but I'm just curious, like, do you even think like in the back of her head that she was like, and then I'm going to take him? Or like, what do you think?
Has anything to do with him. He's not a person in the situation. I think he's her best friend's boyfriend.
It's just the
and
pawn
it's that.
In the situation. It's that. He just happened
well, I mean,
to be there.
Think about it. Like your friends and you meet their girlfriends, they become in a box of people who are like your brother and untouchable, and they are not sexual objects.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's just kind of like, I think about that with like my girlfriend's boyfriends. Like, I'm like, you are literally, you have no penis. Like, you are not a sexual object. Mm-hmm. And I can't ever see you like that. And so then it becomes a power move with the girl. It has nothing to do with the boyfriend. I'm also so fucking glad you guys aren't dating anymore. I'm so glad that this is why you and your boy, did this is why they broke up?
She said that he was just a shit.
But it makes me so happy that you didn't condone his behavior. I think because I'm sure he probably did some, you said he was, did some other shit. I mean, hold your friend to the same standards that you held him, because obviously he wasn't good enough to keep around. And I don't think she is either.
Yeah, I love it. I love this so much. I want to be on the show every goddamn week.
Oh my God, do it.
Next question. Hit me with it.
I'm 21 years old and I've been in a relationship with a guy for about 3 years, and I know one of his like biggest fantasies is anal, and we've done like some butt stuff, like he's like trying to finger my butthole. Never been a fan of that. And then about a year ago we tried like full on anal, and we used lube and he got some thrust in, but I'm not a fan. I think it's uncomfortable, kind of painful, but I know like he still probably thinks about it all the time. I'm sure when it jacks off, he looks up anal videos. But I'm just wondering if, like, am I weird for not enjoying it? Is there a way to enjoy it more? Should I, like, try doing it again with him? Like, I know he's okay that I don't want to, but I just feel bad because I know that's his fantasy.
I mean, I'm, like, so anti-butt stuff. I'm like, so like literally my asshole is clenching this entire question. I'm like, oh, I can't. I mean, also as the amount of the, I bet you, I hope you know this too. I'm like, you're getting all these revelations. I always say it wrong.
Revelations.
I keep talking about ballet with this, but I'm like the amount of times that like every girl has been like, oh, yep. Nope. Wrong hole. Nope. Wrong hole. Nope. You're drunk. Wrong mm-hmm, hole. Like mm-hmm. It is not, you are so not weird at all or not. Yeah, you don't have to like it ever.
No, like, I was gonna, you, this is not like a standard, you've got to have that whole fucked. That's
no,
not,
I mean, even my gay guy friends are like, literally, it's the whole thing. They get actually angry when straight people have butt sex. Like, no, you have a perfectly functioning fucking vagina. Do not do this. And like, literally, are like, don't even know. But I mean, the whole thing, if you're into it, this is what I would also say about sexual fantasies. As much as you're thinking that this is one of his huge fantasies, if you're not into it, that's not a fucking fantasy. No. Like, if you're not enjoying yourself, that completely ruins it. And that's not, he's not going to, and that's, yeah, I mean, those, you have to share those things. And I understand, like, whatever, fucking Rachel dressing up as Princess Leia. That's a totally, like, not harmful, going to hurt your ass kind of thing.
Well, look, here's the thing with anal sex, okay? There.
Oh, my butthole's clenching.
Look, the thing with anal sex, though, is, I mean, in all seriousness, is, like, you, the body, you have two sphincters, okay? You got one sphincter on the outside that you can control, and then the other sphincter on the inside that just kind of does its job. And so, look, it's not like this is a perfect scenario. Look, if you're not into it, the body's not into it. You know yeah. what I'm saying? It's not going to work.
It's also an ordeal.
Yes, it's a stupidly slow, dumb process.
Yeah.
I have a fun story. So
yes.
It's not me per se.
Okay, it's totally you.
It's not, I'm serious.
I know.
So
I just wish it was.
I was at like a house party or something, and there was a guy who was in the back with a girl, and he got stuck.
No.
How? Like it just got like, he said.
It's too dry?
He said it closed up and basically
and
had a grab hold of him.
Oh my God.
But I'm just like that.
It's like she had anal dentata instead of vagina dentata.
But like,
anyone see teeth?
From that moment, I was just like, oh yeah. So if you're not into it, like you're not into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just remember being like, that's like, you can't force that.
Yeah.
No.
Ah.
And going from finger to dick.
Unless
that's
your boyfriend's a very tiny,
right, that's
tiny
a lot.
Dick
you
or
gotta,
a large finger.
You gotta loosen it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, now that I said the story out loud, this guy might have just been saying that to make his dick sound huge.
Yeah.
But look, what I'm saying, though, is that that's what propelled me to then go into research about the sphincters and how it all works, because I was genuinely like, well, what? And that kind of made me then also go like, well, there was a perfectly working vagina right there. I don't know what happened.
But if he's into watching like butt stuff porn, you're going to fucking ruin it. If you guys have terrible, like it's going to completely, that's just not going to be a thing anymore. And I also think with fantasy wise, it's, like, okay, like every guy I've been with, it's either that or it's like multiple girls and like having a threesome, anything like that. Whereas for me, I'm like not into that at all. That's not my thing at all.
Really?
You just look at a girl who like looks like you really definitely want to be in a threesome. Like that's not something that I'm interested in at all. But it's also one of those things that then, because I'm not interested, like, think about it in this way. Let's just say, like, guys who have a fantasy about two girls. It's only hot because you're picturing these two girls making out with each other. But if they're not into it, your fantasy, it's not going to... what you're picturing is not happening.
It's not real.
No, this whole idea that you have of these fantasies is because they're these perfect scenarios and they're super sexy. But if there's like one thing that's not fitting into all of this, which is a dick and a butt. No, I mean, just like, it's like, if it's not sexy and it's not, everyone's not super into it, like he's fantasizing, mm-hmm. it's not, it'd be like, okay, I'd rather have no threesome than one where I feel like I've forced this and no one's enjoying themselves. So I can't enjoy myself. True. It's the same thing. And if he's also not bringing it up, I don't think you need to feel, I think also girls a lot of time feel very guilty about that. I'm like, am I depriving you? Is like every other girl you've dated totally wanted to do this and like will do this? And am I like closing off this part of your life? But we've had people who've called in about sexual fantasies before. And it's either if someone is not interested in participating in your fantasy, either it's a deal breaker or it's not. And for him, it doesn't sound like it's a deal breaker.
Wow, you guys might find something way more fun that you both enjoy.
You got a fucking like, sex swing.
Equally. Yeah, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. You never
titty fuck him.
Seriously.
Oh, I don't want to fucking talk about titty fucking.
Wait, why can't we talk about titty fucking?
Oh my God.
What's wrong with titty fucking?
What is titty fucking?
What do you mean, what is?
I didn't mean to open up that
titty fucking.
Open up that titty fuck.
By the way, is there like another phrase instead of titty fucking?
It's a wonderful phrase.
I just feel like the word titty is so, it's just so weird. I feel strange when I say it.
Titties is my shit. I say titties more than shit.
I feel like when I say titties, I'm like, I'm calling for a small animal. Here, titties, titties, titties. Come here, titties.
You do, when you say it, you do make it sound somewhat like a character in like.
Oh, you talking about titties? Titties? Yeah. Like, titties? I don't know. I'm just, I don't know. I don't know. Yikes.
Okay, guys, now we're going to go on to Producer's Corner. And Producer's Corner is in this time, usually it's when Jack picks his favorite or most memorable call. But instead, we have someone who's calling back from a response to Aislinn's.
Uh-huh. They're actually not calling back. Nope. This is someone that is...
Yes, yeah. Someone's response to the advice that we had given on the call, one of the calls we had with Aislinn.
I wanted to send in a response to your first caller from the episode with Aislinn. So I work for a nonprofit that provides emergency shelter and counseling and education about domestic violence. And the first caller, I just was listening to it, and there were so many red flags that the relationship that the caller was describing is an abusive one. Especially, you know, how controlling her boyfriend is over her and getting mad and about her not being at his house on time and making her, quit the appointment with her friend. Like, all of that kind of stuff is just such a red flag. And I thought that the advice that you guys gave was great, but I do want to just stress that this is something that can turn dangerous really, really quickly. And it's really... The most important thing for the friend to do is to provide support for her friend, because one of the hallmarks of abusive relationships is the abuser making the victim feel isolated and like they don't have anyone to turn to. So the friend being there for that person can make such a big difference when they decide that it is time to leave the abusive relationship.
If you want some more info, I would suggest going to the One Love Foundation. They're specifically catered to like people in their 20s. There's also the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And the National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-800-799-7233. So I was listening to it and I was just like, red flag, red flag, red flag. So I thought I would call in and hopefully give some of my expertise. I don't know if you could call it that. I've only been in this job for like 5 months.
You have the sweetest listeners.
I know. Aren't they so nice?
Your listeners are now in the conversation and helping. That's fantastic.
It's very nice. I like it. I like when they can give that. Like, there was a couple of ones where I've missed something that was quite obvious. And they're like, but maybe this was it. And I was like, oh, that's
fantastic. Honestly, she answered everything.
Yeah.
That is amazing information. And please do not forget all of that. No. Like, that is very serious.
I think,
because if you feel like you're in a situation that is isolating yourself and getting smaller and closed in and something just doesn't feel right, then contact, reach out, figure it out, ask questions.
Yeah. I think that's awesome, because I think a lot of the people who are calling in on the podcast, it's a lot of people who are seeing this. Like, that call was a girl who was seeing her friend in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard when you feel like you can see everything very black and white. And sometimes you wonder, I've like disliked friends' boyfriends before, but sometimes you're like, is this me or is this?
Sometimes the fly on the wall, though, is the perfect way to see, like, hey, just to let you know
exactly
how he's talking to you is not okay.
No, and I think it's not now knowing that those, from a professional, that a lot of those things that you were describing, if you're listening again, caller, a lot of the things you were describing about your friend and her boyfriend, the woman who just called in, it was smart in the sense of like making sure you have all this contact information. And even if you're being pushed out from this friendship, really, I guess, not letting that go and making sure that you stay a steady part of this person's life, even if your friend's boyfriend is really trying to push you out and isolate her, making sure that you, even if you're not able to be around all the time, that your friend knows that you're always around and that you're able to watch and kind of monitor and see if there's any point that you should be intervening. And
definitely. God. I mean, I've had friends who have been in situations like this, and it's always just so difficult to find that perfect, right kind of moment to be like, hey, I think, mm-hmm, something's wrong and you don't know it.
Oh, I've said it and lost friends from that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've done all that I can do. And if you ever want to come back to me again, I know that you hate me right now,
but I promise
but
I'm still here.
I don't hate you. Yeah. And whatever, like, I hope I'm so fucking hope I'm wrong, but this is just, I have to say something.
It's so easy to be oblivious of what's right in front of you when the words love are right there. You know what I mean?
Like,
when
you,
yes. And I mean, and that's the thing that I remember just seeing a lot of is, I'm just so in love. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I understand that, but like, it doesn't trump everything. I mean, there's a certain level of things where you just have to, like, it's yourself, care about yourself. It's about you at the end of the day, and you wouldn't treat someone like that. Mm-mm. Like, so I just, it's such a delicate little place, and it's sometimes so difficult to like focus in on when it's happening directly to you, which I've always thought it's just very fascinating to me.
Oh, you get, I've dated terrible guys where I can now, it takes years to look back on things and you're like, wow, this was so fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But you've managed to make me feel managed to make me feel like this was this super romantic gesture.
Yeah.
And I can now look back and go, wow, that is so fucked up. But not only was I like, oh no, this is like, I'm going to ignore this. I saw in positive light. That's the issue that happens if you're dating someone who's abusive.
We got those rose-colored glasses on.
It becomes like when, as a friend, you're seeing, oh, he's not letting you have any other friends, but you're like, wow, he wants to spend all his time with me.
Exactly.
He loves me so much.
And that's like, that's such a red flag. Yeah. That's so weird.
And it's so, makes my skin crawl.
In a relationship, you should always still be an individual. You know what I mean? You can work as a unit together, but that doesn't mean...
I love blissfully coexisting.
Yes, exactly. But that does not mean that you control each other in any sense of the way. Like, there's just... If that's something that needs to happen, then it's not a relationship anymore. It's like, honestly, it's like a weird
obligation.
It's like
thing.
A roommate, mom, dad sitch, and nobody fucking wants that.
No. okay, guys, that is it. Mitchell, you're great at this.
Thank you. I honestly, I never give advice. I don't know if I did a good job
or not.
No,
you did great.
Did I? Okay, mm-hmm. good. Yeah, no, please have me back. I love it. It's so fun.
Yeah, I love talking about
sexy stuff. Sorry, I talked right over
you. No, you said sexy stuff, so it was more important.
I do love talking about sexy stuff, though. I think it's fun. And I also feel like it's needed. There's not, there's too many people that are afraid to talk about this shit. And the thing is that if I was a kid, I would have loved to listen to things like this.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I really didn't. And I mean, just as a little fun taste. Like I had a girl once tell me like, no one will ever like you because you have such bad OCD. And I stayed with her for years.
Oh God.
So just like, there's so many things that you think are just so normal. And then you're like, no.
Yeah.
No, man.
No, we're the amount of, I think, like broadening perspectives with this is great. Just hearing like the calls where even we've said like, you hear this and you're like, wow, I didn't even know people still think like this anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you guys want to go find Mitchell, you can find him at
you can Google me and you can find all my stuff, but honestly I just want to promote popcorn.show. That's my podcast. Since you're already in the podcast realm listening to this, why don't you just go head on over there and listen to a movie review.
And so I guess I can't do holes for my episode.
We cannot do holes.
Yeah. I will keep to another.
You know, let's watch a sexy movie. I feel like we should watch something that's
porn. No, you porn.
That's popcorn at dark.
Popcorn at night. No, yeah, we should just watch like what was like an early movie that you were like, oh, I have a crush on that person. Think about it, and that's the
I used
movie
to have
watch.
A crush on Al Gore.
Okay, that's not what I meant at all.
Okay, let's wrap this up.
Okay, guys.
Cool. So now we're getting into the daddy episode.
Daddy. Okay, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to call and get some advice, you can leave a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And if you're international, again, you can just record a voice memo on your phone, email it to meganpodcast@gmail.com. And we would love to get reviews on the Apple Podcast app. Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
It's a fortnight.
It's a fortnight? Is 2 weeks a fortnight?
Oh, wow. You're not on my podcast.
Yes. 2 weeks is a fortnight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a fortnight.
I should have learned this from Paul Revere, but
fortnight,
I did not.
Fortnight popcorn.
Oh, I get it now. Don't Blame Me is a production by me, produced and directed by Jack Ferry, associate producer Melissa DeMons, edited by Melissa DeMons, post-production sound by Chris Henry, and music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter. I will see you guys in 2 weeks, and don't blame me if your life bursts into flames before then.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.